Amen. It is good to see you all. And yes, it's times like this when you realize life isn't guaranteed. You're not supposed to make it home today. You realize that? No, nobody's guaranteed. None of our names are in the Bible saying that as long as the Lord liveth, we shall make it. Sorry, none of our names are in the Bible. So there are no promises. However, God has given us his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Amen. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Get to the message. Get to the message. I don't know. Sometimes things like this just makes you think and it just makes you reflect. But just what I'm going to ask you to do. Please turn with me to the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. 13th chapter, the first through the ninth verses, we will read them. Again, if you do not have your Bibles with you, your written or electronic Bibles, it is available on the screen. Amen. Or if you're unable to read your Bibles. However, if you do have them, again, we should always practice turning our pages or scrolling our electronic devices. So again, the book of Luke, the 13th chapter. And I will be reading the first through the ninth verses. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say, wait a minute. Amen. Well, out of the Christian Standard Bible. The book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, read as follows. At that time, some people came and reported to him, talking about Jesus, reported to him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And he responded to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than all the other Galileans because they suffered these things? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as well. Or those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell on and killed? Do you think they were more sinful than all the other people who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as well." Verse 6, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and found none. He told the vineyard worker, "Listen, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil?" Some versions say, "Use up the ground." But he replied to him, "Sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year. But if not, you can cut it down." The title of this sermon is a question that many Christians and non-Christians have been asking this week. Why Kobe? Why Kobe? For those of us who were here last week, I was up preaching and apparently everybody started getting the news as I was preaching. I was told that during the sermon that notifications popped up and people saw it, and it just shifted the whole mood. I didn't even want to go on Facebook that day because I just didn't even want to, you know, go there. But later on, I went, Kobe. As the story develops, wait, his daughter was on the plane too? Oh, she was only 13. And then there's 5 people on the plane. No, there's 6. No, there's 9. Okay, 9 people on the plane. Here's their faces. Here's their families. I go to work and talk with people. People are crying at work. My family's finding out about the news. Some people can't handle it. Kobe was like a father. I read another post, one of the people that went to my school. Kobe was basically their dad, as was for many people. And he went, and they would go on this long, long speech about how he was their father, even though they never met him. He was the father figure that they never had. And then you keep going on and on, and then some people want to start assigning blame. Whose fault is this? Who's responsible? Who can we direct our anger at? Which really means, who can we try to direct our pain at? This is all week, still going on. Whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you're on, it's happening. And then there's the question, why? Why did this happen? And I don't want to be smart and try to give you a scientific answer as far as, well, it was foggy and there was a helicopter. No, people want to know why. Why him? Somebody that gave back to the community, was trying to be a father figure. Why his daughter, who was just coming up into life and represented, was a role model even for little girls. Why the other families? Why? And again, there's, you know, I go to school and I have lots of theological answers. But people need something that satisfies their souls. And I could just say, well, you know what? We don't really know why. We don't really know why God was, why God chose last week for all 9 of them. We really don't. But then, after all this is done, where do we go? Where do we go from here? So again, people are still searching for answers. Why? Why could a shocking thing like this happen? Why could God allow something like this to happen? Well, Scripture is full of examples of shocking deaths, untimely deaths. There's even entire books like Job, which were written about events like this. But one perspective I want to bring to you comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, which we just read. And in this scripture, you have the people coming to Jesus and saying, why? Why? Why these people? Why did the government have to do this to these people? Why were these people executed? You had Galileans, non-Jews, in the temple. And then you have the government come in and just massacre them in the temple and then mix their blood with the sacrifices. Why in the world would God let his people go through this? Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's 2 points we're going to talk about. Step 1 is release. We're going to talk about release. Jesus is asking for us to release these presumptions we have about God. There is something called the retribution principle. Now, some of you say, what in the world is a retribution principle? You may not know the name, but you know what it means. You get what you deserve. The leading mindset in that time was, if bad things happen to you, it's because somewhere, somehow along the way, you were evil. If bad things happen to you, you need to get punished. And then there's the other side of that, which is if good things are happening to you, you are blessed. If you're rich, you're obviously God loves you. If you're successful, obviously God loves you. That was something that was prevalent in the ancient Near East. But you know, that's kind of prevalent today. Some people feel like God's blessing them because they got something good. At the same time, they feel like God has set his face against them because something bad happened to them. That's the mindset that the people were bringing to Jesus. When they talked about the people and the Galileans, that's why Jesus had to bring that up and said, you know, do you think, verse 2, do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than all the other Galileans because they suffered these things? You know, the internet is a mean place. And of course, it was just a matter of time before somebody tried to bring up Kobe's past and say, well, it's justice. Well, I mean, he did do this. One reporter said, let's tell the whole story. And what's driving that is, well, you know, sometimes bad people get what they deserve. But it just doesn't hold up. Good people die early all the time. And bad people live long lives and prosper and are rich and run nations. Again, I'm not saying anything about our nation. I'm just saying that happens. It happens in the Bible. It happens in other places. Amen. Why? Why does God let that happen? He should be operating a certain way, right? He's supposed to bless good people. And then he's supposed to curse and destroy the wicked. Now, let me be clear. God does do that. God does do that on his timetable, on his terms. Just because you don't see the penalty doesn't mean there's a penalty. All sins are accounted for before God. Everybody pays for it. The difference is, if you're in the world, you end up paying for your own sins for eternity. But if you're one of the elect, one of the Christians, we, all of our sins have been borne on his body on the cross. Jesus Christ has borne the penalty of our sins. I thank God that I'm not getting what I deserve. Y'all know what I deserve? I know, you know, I have the resume and I look, you know, but y'all, do y'all know what I deserve? Let me put, do you know what you deserve? I mean, really, truly, do you know where you're supposed to be? But the fact that you can hear me and see me and raise your hands and say hallelujah, do you get it? So God is merciful. God is gracious. God is forgiving. Thank God he doesn't operate always like this. But again, what's the point? What's the point? Jesus says no to both instances. For the Galileans that got slaughtered, they're not more sinful. To the people that fell and when the Tower of Siloam, you know, there's a building project and it killed them. No, they were not more sinful. I know what you think. I know what people have been teaching you. But no, just because things happen to them does not mean that they're worse off. You can't judge character by calamity. You can't look at the way people died and then judge how they lived. You can't do it. You can't do it. That type of judgment is reserved for God alone. He's the one that knows. He's the one that understands. So what do we release? We release this thinking of the retribution principle. We release this thinking that this world is supposed to operate a certain way, that God is supposed to follow this formula, that if I come to church enough, I'll be blessed. And if I just stay away from this and that, then he'll reward me with more money or a family or happiness. Or that if my life is going down and I'm losing this and that, that God hates me and that he doesn't want anything to do with me. Release that. And just accept that God is who he is, and he tells you who he is in the Bible. Release that. Release that idea. But then there's something else we do. We got to repent. We got to repent. Some of us say, repent from what? I've been going to church. I don't do what the world does, smoke, drink, fornicate, whatever. I don't do that. What am I supposed to repent from? Well, let me go even more basic. What does repent even mean? Repent means to just turn around. It means you're going this direction, and repent is like a U-turn. Skirt. Go the opposite direction. That's what it means to repent. You are going one way, which is the way that the Lord does not want you to go, and you decide to go the way that God wants you to go. Jesus tells this story because, again, he just told them, hey, you know what? There's no way to know. There's no way to know. However, there is a lesson in all of this. And he tells the parable of the fig tree. In verse 6, it says, a man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. Why do you plant a fig tree? Not just so it can look pretty, not so people can, you know, comment, not even for the shade. You put it there so that the fig tree can bear fruit. And when you put a tree there and it's not bearing fruit, and again, he said in verse 7 that he came looking on that for 3 years. 3 years. That's a long time. I'm not a farmer, but from what I understand, that's a long time. Much longer than you're supposed to give it. For 3 years, there's a tree that's not bearing fruit. Some of us, whether we wear a suit and tie or a dress or whether we're in jeans or shorts or whatever we may be in, all of us have something that God wants us to do. God wants us to bear fruit. We talked about that all in January. He wants us to exemplify what it means to be saved by Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be exhibiting fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to do that. He put us here for a purpose. We are here not just to live and make money and die and see what we can enjoy in between, but that there is something here that God has for us to do, something that will advance the kingdom of God, something that will make God famous, something that will glorify God. There is something, each of us, no matter your age, something that we are supposed to do. And some of us know it. Some of us haven't bothered to even ask, but some of us know it. And we have not done it. We have not done it. Do you realize some of us might be on our third year? Some of us might be on our third year. But then you have the vineyard worker coming, says, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year. Y'all realize Jesus Christ is interceding for us? That the Father's patience might have ran out with us, but that Jesus Christ, who came and bled and died for us so that we may have a right to the tree of life, that he is continually interceding for us, not just to have our prayer requests, not just so that we can have things, but sometimes to protect us from being cut down. Y'all realize that? But do you realize that Jesus also has a limit? That grace is not forever. It's plentiful, it's overflowing, but it's not forever. That there is a time where God is just going to say, you know what? We're done. My brothers and sisters, let us not get anywhere close to our fourth year. We got to repent from being fruitless. We got to repent from not doing what we're supposed to do. Because unfortunately, life is short and life is unexpected. I hate to scare you, but there are wicked people out there. And they do crazy things. Y'all realize this is LA, right? Los Angeles, California. People are crazy. Okay, it's not all people in LA are crazy, but there's enough crazy people in LA to cause problems. And no, it's not just limited to LA. There's crazy people in Manhattan Beach. There's crazy people in Palos Verdes Estates. Okay, there are crazy people in Beverly Hills. They're everywhere. So it's not just limited to LA. Don't get that twisted. But there's a whole lot of the crazy people in LA. And that you and I could be the next thing on the news? You and I could be the next thing the police have to figure out? And none of us are planning this, right? Nobody here is planning to go home and get robbed. None of us are planning to be on our way to the car and to get carjacked. None of us are planning to have a stroke. None of us are planning to drive and go on the green light and somebody decides to try to cut it. None of us are planning these things. But unfortunately, helicopters crash. It happens. And we've got to be ready because we need to do what the Lord has called us to do. Here, it's tempting now. Don't make this your explanation. Oh, that's why, Kobe. See, we're still trying to find reasons. Oh, maybe that's why, Kobe, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. Ah, that's the evil. Ah, that's what it was. No. We just talked about it. Don't make this your explanation. Don't try to justify and clarify what God has done. If we don't know, we don't know for a reason. Because God has not decided to let us know. But you know what? What we can do is trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understandings and in all our ways acknowledge him and let him direct our paths. We are supposed to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. So I'm asking you, repent. Matter of fact, I'm urging you, repent. Matter of fact, I'm begging you, repent. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Start today. Do it now. Commit now. And if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what the Lord wants you to do, ask. I'm going to tell you right now, that is what the Lord wants you to do. For those that don't know, that's what the Lord wants you to do right now. I am speaking on behalf of the Lord. He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask. Do it today. As I close, we don't know why. Okay, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to, you know, judge his character, judge his decisions. Okay, Kobe's and God's. Okay, stop trying to do that. Just accept that God is on the throne and that he knows what he's doing. Release whatever you're thinking about how life is supposed to go. We don't know how life is supposed to go. You know, the Spirit of God will lead us into dangerous places. But those without the Spirit may be going to lands plentiful with milk and honey. Who knows? But you know what? When we follow Jesus Christ, we're in the best possible spot we can be. It may not be the most comfortable. It may not be the most likable. But we are in the best spot. Release the judgments. Release the thoughts that we've had about how God is supposed to work, about what Kobe did or didn't do. And just repent. Turn around. Do what you're supposed to do. If God is calling you to do something here, start. If God is calling you to do something at your with your family, go do it. If God is calling you to go and to get training to the things that you're supposed to be doing, just go do it. Because life is short, life is unexpected, nobody is guaranteed anything.